Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. I know some of you girls, you know, you just can't. Oh, my goodness, you just can't go anywhere if you're not dressed. I mean, my goodness, I could never let somebody look at me unless I had my makeup on. You know, my goodness. No. You're beautiful. You don't have to have all of this. But he said, don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within. That's the way every woman should be known. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you, every man likes a wife with a gentle, quiet, loving, godly spirit. You know that? How many of you men like a wife like that? Okay, those of you guys that didn't hold your hand up, wow. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Now, if it's precious to God, it ought to be precious to us, right? Let's see what 5 and 6 says. That is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham when she called him her master or her Lord. Now, every time I read this, the Lord says here, you are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husband might do. Every time I read this, I think about that deacon. He was chairman of deacons at one of the churches I was in one time, and we were all at a little deacon party with our wives, and this chairman of deacons' wife was reading him the riot act. He was doing something she didn't like, and she was telling him, and several of us heard her, and I walked over to her. I said, ma'am, you know what you're doing is wrong. I said, you shouldn't be talking to your husband like that. I said, the Word of God said you are to submit yourself to your husband, even calling him Lord. I said, that's a King James. She said, you think I'm going to call him Lord? I said, well, the Word of God told you to do it. And I'm just telling you exactly what the Word of God says. I said, now, I can't make you do anything. But I said, I don't think Jesus is very happy with you today. Do you think I was on safe ground? You think Jesus was happy with his daughter? Reading the chairman of deacons, the riot act, in front of a bunch of other men and their wives that are all deacons and Christian men and women, and she's fussing at him at this little meeting? What did the Lord tell us to do? To expose darkness and to rebuke it. Did he tell us to do that? So how many people do you know that would have never walked up to her and said nothing, just let her rant and rave? But I'm going to tell you, God told you and me what to do. Amen. When you see a Christian brother doing something, first thing you got to do is, do you have the log out of your eye? Or have you just had your eye washed out with gasoline? Well, if you got the log out of your eye, then you go up and talk to the other person, can't you, Keith?
Yes.
Why do you think God told us to walk holy and obedient to His Word all the time? So we would be available, right? That's what he tells us to do. But he says this, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, when she called him her master, her Lord in the King James. And he says, and you're her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husband might do. Now, I realize this is a real problem for husbands and wives. I mean, we're flesh and blood. We want to do our own thing. I don't want to do it his way. I don't want to do it her way. I mean, that's why we have so many battles. We're not willing to do it God's way. Now then, but God wrote the book, folks. I'm accountable to this book. Cheryl and I have to live this book just like y'all do. Let's see what 7 and 8 says here. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Not if you want to. Not if she's been a good girl. You must give honor to your wife. You must treat her with understanding as you live together. Now, guys, I realize girls are different than us. They have hormone days. They have days that their bodies don't work like yours and mine does. And one day, I mean, you can come home one day and your wife's got a lovely dinner on the stove and she's got a rose in her mouth. You know, you can't do nothing wrong that day. You know, even if you were a little upset, she's so gentle. Come on in, honey. I've made a candlelight dinner for us tonight. And man, what a dinner. And you think, wow. What an evening with my wife. Tomorrow I'll take off early and come home. Maybe she'll have a better day. And you walk in the next day, say, hi, honey. And she says, what's good about it? Don't talk to me today. Amen. And you think, what is wrong with her? Why do you think God told you? Treat her with understanding. As you live together, get a hold of understanding. There's days your wife's not going to be easy to live with, guys. There's going to be days you ain't going to be easy to live with too. So that's why he told us to live together in love. Then he says, and she may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, only some of your prayers will be answered. What does he say? He said, if you don't treat your wife as you should, your prayers will not be heard, much less answered. So why do you think so many men don't get their prayers answered? Because they don't treat that woman with respect and understanding like God says. Finally, all of you should be one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. That's a final answer. All of you should live like this. Is that what he said? Let's see what 9 and 10 says. Don't repay evil for evil. You come home that day and your wife's... it's on one of her bad days and she's hollering at you. Don't return. Don't say, well, I had a bad day at the office myself. Don't return evil for evil. Be good to her. It says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. You know, and be nice to her. And wife, be nice to your husband. Pay them back with a blessing. If she's having a really bad day, go grab her around the neck, you know. I mean, not like this now. You know, not like that. Put your arm around her and hold her and love her and say, honey, let me speak a blessing over you. When I said grab her around the neck, I thought I better clarify that. Somebody will go out there and say, Thurman said I could grab you around the neck. And that's what they would do to you. No. You don't ever do that. If you put your hands around your wife's neck, you do it like I did the time that Cheryl come into my office. And this is the only time I've ever done her like this. We hadn't been married too long. But she knew and understood demons. She was going to sing at a place that night. And when she was going to sing, of course, it's nice when you have a voice. Especially if you've got 1,200 people you're going to sing for that night. So her and her daughter had been paid some very good money to sing for this huge group of people for 4 hours. And she walks into my office at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, supposed to sing about 7 or 8, walks into my office and says, honey, now, that's not exactly what a singer wants to hear. She said, will you pray for me? So I just reached up, grabbed her around the neck, and shook her. And I said, come out of her, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. And I turned her loose and I said, sing something. She said, ah! And she went out and sang 4 hours that night. Now then, if you know that your wife's got a demon and she needs to be delivered, and God has shown you, said, it's okay, Keith. It's okay, Keith, to grab her around the neck, shake the devil out of her. But don't do it any other time. That's the only time I've ever done it to Cheryl. But that night, I mean, that I just knew what was wrong with her, and I just reached up and grabbed her and gently shook her, you know, kind of like that. And I screamed to that devil, you come out of her in the name of Jesus. And then I said, now, honey, sing to me. I turned her loose, and man, she could sing to the highest. I mean, she sang right up there, and she went and sang 4 hours that night. Beautiful. Amen. Now then, like I say, if you're led by the Spirit, you'll know what to do at the right time. Now, if your wife comes in and she's having a bad day, don't you grab her and shake her and say, come out of her, you devil of hell, because it might not be the right thing to do that night. So you make sure you're led by the Spirit. It says, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God wants you to do, and He will bless you for it. Now, if you bless them like I did Cheryl that night, what did God do for her when I cast that demon out of her? When I did that, He blessed her and she was able to sing. So you don't ever return evil for evil. But it says then, but the Scripture says, if you want a happy life and good days. Now, it seemed like I heard that in a psalm a while ago. Didn't we read something like that in old Psalm Day put up on the board? I thought I read something just like this. I thought when I read this, I thought, wow, that's in the psalm. Just exactly like it was in the Scripture I'm studying today. If you want a happy life and good days. The answer is exactly the same it was in the psalm. What does he say? Keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. Now, how many people would love to have a happy life and good days? Man, that's me. That's me. I want a happy life and good days. So what do I have to learn to control? That little thing right there in my mouth. And if I don't let the Holy Spirit control that thing, I can't control that tongue. Because the Scripture says in James chapter 1, no man can control the tongue. No man. So if no man can control the tongue, then who can control it? God, the Holy Spirit. That's right. So you better have it. Now then, the last two verses, and we'll quit. 11 and 12. Turn away from evil and do good. What does it mean to turn away from evil and do good? Is really that hard to understand? Turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living in peace with others. Now, you know, that's amazing. That was in that psalm too. Work hard. I thought, good grief, why couldn't they have made this easy, Keith? Why couldn't you and Lynette got married and never had another cross word and just loved each other and everything go good all your life? But it don't work like that, does it? No, I've never seen two people that they did. I've seen a few people had very few disagreements, but I ain't never seen a couple that didn't have a few disagreements. It's just not there. It says, turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living in peace with others. God must have known it was going to be difficult to live together with your mate. Because He told you to work hard at it, didn't He? He didn't say he'd tell you to get a divorce, did he? He said, work hard at it. Make it work. It says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and His ears are open to their prayers. Now, do you want His ears open to your prayers?
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.